Good morning, and thank you for joining the Spiritual Outreach Call. My name is Nancy Gravy. I am from the New Jersey area of the American Association. A warm welcome to the American, Federal, and Western Association. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker today, Deacon Larry Janoski. Deacon Larry Janoski is a Deacon Deputy Chaplain of the Order of Malta, located in the Northeast Florida area, and was invested in 2018. He was ordained to serve as a permanent deacon in the Rockford, Illinois Diocese in 1996 and served as pastoral associate in the northwest suburbs of Chicago before being transferred by his job to Jacksonville, Florida in 2003. He has since been serving parishes in the St. Augustine, Florida Diocese and is currently assigned to Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish as the RCIA coordinator for the parish. So it is my pleasure again to welcome Deacon Larry Janoski.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I will ask that we begin with a short opening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. For the past 5 weeks, we've all been praying and sacrificing, preparing for this, the holiest week of the year, while following our Lenten journey. Help us, O Lord, to make the very best preparation we can to grow ever closer to you while experiencing your passion, your suffering, and death, and especially your resurrection, which leads us to our salvation and new life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So how can we get the most benefit out of Holy Week? That is the question that we will want to contemplate, and we will be wanting an answer during this outreach call. As we all know, the beginning of Holy Week is now just a few days away, as we will celebrate Palm Sunday this weekend. And our recent Sunday readings have all kind of prepared us for what is coming. Jesus was aware he was entering into a very sacred time, and everything he said and done during the previous 3 years of his ministry while preaching and teaching was leading up to this time. He had just come from Bethany, a short distance from Jerusalem, and he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And then he spent time there visiting with Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary. But Jesus was now entering Jerusalem, and the word had gotten out about what he had done for Lazarus. And the Jews were now ready to raise him up and accept him as their new king. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him greeted Jesus with loud cries of Hosanna. And they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for many years to celebrate the Passover in accordance with the Jewish law. But now, as Jesus is entering the holy city, he is embarking on the very culmination of his holy mission. And today we are called to accompany Jesus, follow in his footsteps. He asks us to follow him to Jerusalem with the same resolve to do the will of God that he had when he first accepted his mission from his Father. So during the upcoming days of Holy Week, we are asked to participate and see another part of what it means to follow Jesus, and we will come to recognize him even more as the Lamb of God who has come to take away our sins. Jesus will appear to us as the suffering servant, and we will hear stories that will show us the depth of his love for each and every one of us. So how will we hear these stories? Will we just look back at them as part of the history of Jesus' life? Or will we allow them to be a life-giving testimony of the person who Jesus really was, who truly loves us unconditionally, and who loves us enough to sacrifice his life for us? As we read and study the Gospels and hear the accounts of Jesus' final days in the Passion during this upcoming week, we are asked to truly live these events with Jesus as they are happening right now in the present. And I had the opportunity to do exactly this several years ago when I was invited to participate on a parish retreat during the weekend of Palm Sunday as we were preparing for Holy Week. And I remember our retreat master telling us that we really needed to contemplate being there and to experience what Jesus was experiencing in his last days. He reminded us to reflect on what Jesus had to be feeling as he entered Jerusalem, and then in the days prior to the Last Supper, and being there for the Last Supper, and at his arrest and trial, and all the events of his subsequent suffering and death on the cross. We will read through the Passion, and as we do that, we are encouraged to write down all of our reflections and thoughts and try to experience what Jesus was experiencing. And I do remember that I began to recall all the events of Holy Week on that retreat, and that I began to feel anguish as I meditated on each of the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. I started thinking about all the images that over the years I had placed in the back of my mind about what Jesus experienced while I was saying the sorrowful mysteries. During his agony in the garden, his scourging at the pillar, his crowning of thorns, his carrying of the cross, the nailing of Jesus upon that cross, and then watching Jesus hanging there as he was crucified. I recall the utter brutality of the Roman soldiers as they were beating him and pushing him up the hill of Calvary and treating Jesus as a common criminal, as I recalled seeing in the film, The Passion of the Christ. We also had outside stations of the cross there where we held the retreat. And I recall walking and praying the stations and trying to put myself in the crowd following Jesus up that hill as I walked from station to station. It had a tremendous impact on me to put myself in the story and then watch firsthand what was actually happening to Jesus. I remember it made me think twice about all that Jesus suffered, and it helped to make my Holy Week that year so special. And it's made every Holy Week since mean a little bit more to me each time. So I'm not asking any of us to go and try to find a Holy Week retreat in the next few days, like the one I attended so many years ago. But in the few days that we have left before Holy Week begins, it might be a good idea to try and block off some quiet time in your home to reflect on the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. Or try to consider going to daily Mass in the days ahead and praying the Stations of the Cross after Mass. Or as we are finishing up our day and saying our night prayers during the next several days before nodding off to sleep, take time to reflect on Jesus' final days. It can make a difference in our lives, and it will help us to get the most benefit from celebrating Holy Week this year. But I have to admit there are a number of other ways to make Holy Week more meaningful to ourselves and to our families. I made a list of them that can help us. And if you have a pen and paper handy, you might even want to jot some of these down. Number one, try to observe Palm Sunday with great reverence. As we noted earlier, when Jesus first rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, his followers threw palm branches in his path, singing Hosanna and hailing him as a king. But within days, Jesus was deserted and then denied by those same followers. And then he was condemned to death, crucified, and laid in a borrowed tomb. We really need to start Holy Week with great reverence, by following and tracing his path from the very beginning of the week. Number two, try to make an additional sacrifice. Beginning on Palm Sunday and carrying through to Easter, consider making an additional Lenten sacrifice, one you haven't done before. One idea is, in addition to Good Friday, consider abstaining from meat on the holy days of Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, and Holy Saturday. Number three, consider not watching television from Holy Thursday during the day until Easter morning. Just turn off the TV, shut down the computer, or even your cell phone. Turn off social media. We need to do at least one of these to have the greatest effect of helping us stay tuned in to the amazing story of Holy Week. And you'll be surprised by the results. Number four, plan to go to confession during Holy Week. Even if you've already gone during the season of Lent, make an extra effort to do this. You'll find it will make a difference. Number five, set aside 10 minutes each day to read one of the Passion accounts in the Gospels. Of course, we'll read one on Palm Sunday and also again on Good Friday, but there are two other accounts in the four Gospels, and try to read those two as well. Number six, make it a point to forgive someone this week, someone in your family, maybe a friend, but do this, especially on Good Friday. Number seven, pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary every day of Holy Week. Number eight, and this one may seem a little unconventional, but I'm going to ask you to try to offer up any issues or difficulties that you are experiencing during Holy Week and unite all your sufferings and all your concerns with the pain that Christ has experienced for us. And number nine, pray the Stations of the Cross at least a few times this week, and especially on Good Friday. And finally, number 10, plan to attend all the Triduum liturgies. The Triduum, of course, includes the liturgies of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Vigil. Holy Thursday recalls Jesus' Last Supper with his apostles and the washing of their feet. And then Good Friday marks his crucifixion and death. And the Easter Vigil, beginning at sundown on Holy Saturday, provides a bridge between Lent and Easter by moving from the dark, quiet reverence of Holy Week to the bells and the Alleluias and the joyful celebration of Easter and the Resurrection. And finally, I want to share a little more about the Sacred Triduum. The word Triduum comes from a Latin word meaning 3 days, the three most sacred days in the church year. It begins at sundown with the Holy Thursday liturgy and reaches a high point at the Easter Vigil. These liturgical celebrations are so rich with symbolism and flow from one another in a very seamless way. And while it may appear these liturgies are separate and distinct, they are actually intended to be one continuous celebration that commemorates Jesus' Last Supper, then his passion and death, and finally, his glorious resurrection. For this reason, we are all encouraged to observe all 3 days, the entire Triduum, by experiencing each one of these liturgies firsthand. So I want to wish all of you who are listening here today and to all of your loved ones a very blessed Holy Week and Easter celebration. May the commemoration of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection have a significant impact on you and your families. And remember, the Lord blesses all of our efforts to become closer to him. So may we take these opportunities of Holy Week to come closer to him by continually inviting him into our soul and surrendering to his will. Let's pray a closing prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Lord, for all you have taught us through your life and your death on the cross, and especially the lesson of new life that you have given us through your resurrection. Please help us to integrate these lessons into our daily lives so we can become ever more confident in the knowledge that you will always be there to fill us with your insight and grace, and so we can always grow in your love. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Deacon Janowski, thank you for preparing us for Holy Week with such good advice and such an inspiring talk. We are very grateful. And thank you to all of those members of the Order of Malta, American, Federal, and Western Association for joining in today. Please tune in next month, May 4th, when Reverend Owen Moran will speak to us on the Ascension. Again, thank you and have a wonderful day.